Voices of Legacy. We're honored to welcome Mr. Blair Johnson, entrepreneur, community advocate, and former city council candidate. Blair is passionate about progress in our community here in Toledo, Lucas County. He's committed to uplifting his community through leadership, services, and innovation. Whether through his businesses or public service, he continues to demonstrate what it means to lead with purpose and a heart for people, genuinely. We're excited to hear his story, his journey, and how he got to be where he is even today. Good morning, good afternoon, and well, whenever you're listening to this. Mr. Blair Johnson, welcome to the Voices of Legacy.
Thank you, thank you. I appreciate being here.
Tell us something about yourself.
Lifelong Toledo resident, born and raised, grew up over in the OSD on 2700 block of Parkwood. I'm a South Toledoan now. I stay right on Woodsdale, right off the trail. I've been over there 14 years. It's 14 years since 2012.
Oh, wow.
It's almost getting close to just about half my life at this point.
Wow.
Which is kind of crazy. Yeah. Like I said, been lifelong Toledoan, starting Central Catholic High Schools where I attended.
Did you play any sports?
No, I didn't. Coach Dempsey tried to get me my junior year, but then the library offered me a job paying money, and I went to work for the library.
Oh, awesome. So you work for Toledo Public Library?
Yep, that was my first job. My junior year of high school through my freshman year of college.
Wow, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Were you interested in being a librarian?
No, I just was just looking for a job. I mean, I was always down there. I was big into books. For the longest, I would just read books all the time. And, you know, it was just one of the places I applied. My sister, actually, that was her first job as well. When they initially, because I worked at the main branch, when they initially did the big renovation on the back, she started working there. So it was kind of crazy that we both had our first jobs at the same exact building.
Wow. You know, and that's a beautiful building.
It's a beautiful building. And they just, you know, keep upgrading it. So it's a great asset to our community.
Wow. How was your experience there at the library?
I loved it. I loved it. Like, being downtown, I met people from all walks of life. So at 16, you know, getting introduced to people from everywhere was amazing. And I think it was one of the things that helped broaden my horizon on how I interact with people, because I got to meet everybody.
Yeah, yeah. There's a little bit of everything there.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Absolutely.
From affluent to homeless that actually are going to that library. So I guess inquiring minds want to know, at least I do, who's your favorite author?
I don't have a specific one. I read a lot of, now as an adult, I read a lot more instructive books, how to learn, how to create, how to upgrade my skills. I haven't read a lot of fiction in a long time, unfortunately. I've been trying to get back to that because it gives you a creative, that creative burst in your brain. It's still there, but it's like I'm having to learn how to fix things all the time, how to help people, how to actively repair things.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a maintenance contractor, so, and that spans to everything I do in my life, is trying to figure out how can we make it better? How can we improve it? And so I'm more in that lane now, the last probably 10 years or so, than the fiction, but I'm trying to get back over there.
That kind of answers the next question. So you were big into fiction. Were you into like graphic novels and things of that nature when you were younger?
I used to read, and I'm trying to remember one series. There was a series of books based, it was geared towards African-American children, but basically books that were geared towards real life. It wasn't too much like the space and the, you know, time travel type stuff. It was stuff more geared towards real life. Has always engaged me. I've always liked things like police procedurals and fire drama and all that stuff like that. So it kind of goes a little bit.
I'd suggest Mario Puzo, for one. That's my favorite author, and Tom Clancy. Either one of those two.
I'm familiar with both of those guys.
Those books are amazing, but that's just me.
Books can take you to a place to where they give you a small break. Even some of the ones I read about just fixing things, they give you a small break from reality. And sometimes we need that small break from reality, because we just need a break to reset and come back and so we can go back out there and kill it again.
Yeah, that's what a good movie is, really.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Separate you from reality.
Absolutely.
And those books are way better than the movies that, mm-hmm. that they're made into.
Because usually they cut out a lot of pieces, a lot of the good pieces from the book. They're like, no, this isn't going to sell as well. So they're like, we'll leave that. And then you go read the book and you're like, why didn't you put this in the film?
Yes, yes, yes. So the transition from the library to what you do now, did you do something in between?
Yeah, I did a bunch of stuff in between. Ah. So from the library, I went to, I was a custodian for Sylvania Public Schools. Oh. So I did that for a couple of years. And then from there, I started working for a parking company as a valet driver. So it was an entry-level position, and I worked my way up to operations manager. So I started off as a valet driver, you know, giving tickets for cars.
Here in Toledo?
At Toledo Hospital. Started there, worked up to a supervisor. Mm-hmm. From there, after working at the Toledo Hospital, they sent me up to U of M. They had a contract over at the University of Michigan Healthcare mm-hmm. Center. So up there, after supervising a handful of people down here at Toledo, they sent me up there, and I got 40, 50 guys. And I'm 21. Oh, so, you know, they're just like, you know, you want to work. So I'm doing that. And so from there, came back. I started working at the Hollywood Casino. They had a contract mm-hmm. there, started managing there. They had a garage they managed. And then from there, we're based out of Columbus. So I was 21, no kids, single. Mm-hmm. So they were like, do you want to travel? And it was, yeah. You know, we're going to pay your mileage. We're going to pay your hotel. We're going to pay for your food.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, and we're going to pay you. Mm-hmm. So, down in Columbus, they managed the airport. They had a lot of hospitality sites down there. Cleveland, they had the Cleveland Airport, Cleveland mm-hmm. Clinic. They sent me out to Gary, Indiana, started up a hospital there. Outside of Cleveland, the Hard Rock Roxino at the time. I went down to Durham to Duke University Medical Center. So I was just, you know, wherever they had a contract, I went.
And how old were you?
I was 21. So I worked there from 20 to 24. So over that span of time, about 4 years or so, you know, I just did it. I learned a lot about people because, I mean, on average, I had at least 20 people working under me, all different aspects. Just like I was saying, starting at the library, meeting these different people, different personalities, you learn how to be able to interact with people. You learn that there's no one-size-fits-all to dealing with people, which I think is the reason we have a lot of issues because people think you can just deal with people in one line. No, everybody is custom-tailor fit. Now, will you have things that overlap and things that you like and he likes and she likes that we all like the same? Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. But guess what? I'm going to like something that you're going to despise and you're going to hate and et cetera, et cetera. So it all changes, and you have to understand that that's all okay. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people don't have that mindset. They're like, well, you don't like that, and I do, and he does, and she does, but you don't like it, so that's a problem. No, it's not. That's why we're custom, you know? Yeah. We're individual. From there, after I left there, I ended up going to work for the post office. My mom, she's got 23 years in there now. She's on the fence about retiring, but she doesn't know.
Oh, she's still there?
Yeah, she's still there. She's on the fence about retiring, but she doesn't know what she's going to do. So she doesn't know if she's going to be bored. So she's trying to figure out her you know, you got to have a post-retirement plan.
Yeah, that's true.
So she does crafting and all that stuff. So she's kind of leaning out. I've been trying to get her on Etsy to start selling to keep her a little busy. But I worked for the post office for about 7 years, actually up until April 2020, right when COVID peaked. I had a 5-year plan when I went to the post office because I knew I didn't plan to retire from the post office.
And still no kids at that point.
Still no kids. Still no kids now.
No.
but, you know, it was just, I didn't know, you know, I was like, I had some injuries that kind of delayed it. I had a slip and fall, damaged my back, both my shoulders, my ankle. The post office was a... It's a tough job. I don't think people understand how physical it is. You know, I was a city carrier, so I worked in the plant for a while, sorting mail. I was a clerk, and then I became a carrier, a door-to-door, you know, delivery. So I did that, and then, you know, I just got to the point around COVID, you know, I kind of felt like God was telling me, you know, you want another injury, you know, stick around. Because in construction,
time to go.
You know, I've had a couple cuts and bruises and stuff, but no major injuries. So I was just like, I was at the point where I was like, either, you know, I had my business. I started my business in May of 2014. So right when I left the parking company. Oh. So right when I left the parking company. And
so the post office and your business overlapped?
Yep, yep. Okay. So May of 2014 is when I started my business. Me and my dad, that was when I bought my first investment with my father. Mm-hmm. So we started buying investment properties together and, you know, buying them to buy and hold, to create mm-hmm. rentals and everything. So I was doing all the renovation work and everything and doing maintenance. And, you mm-hmm. know, you post something on Facebook and people are like, well, can you come fix this at my house? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how the business
started.
And maintenance started mm-hmm. because people were like, can you come fix this? And I'm like, yeah, you know, and at that time it was like, you know, people, you know, they cook like, yeah, make me some, you know, food or da 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 da, or, you know, mm-hmm. give me some gas money. Cause it was just like, you buy the stuff. It was just kind of yeah. a hobby. So as it progressed, more and more people started saying, call Blair. And then people seeing stuff. So I'm like, okay, I got to start charging for this. Cause it's starting to take a little bit more time. So yeah. then that just equated it into what it was. And so I actually started with the post office later at the end of 2014. Mm-hmm. And I was doing them both at the site, you know, signing mm-hmm. my days off, or every now and then I would take an extra day off if mm-hmm. it was a bigger project or whatever, balancing them out. And so, like I said, that ended up being 2014 up to 2020. And then when it got to 2020, I was just kind of at the point, I didn't know COVID was going to mm-hmm. be what it was.
Yeah, I don't think anybody did.
So, you know, I was like, you know what? So I started to use my sick and leave time because a lot of places won't give it to you. So I said, hey, we're going to use these up mm-hmm. and then we're going to go. And then but then that's when COVID mm-hmm. was like, government was like, shut it down, you know? And I was like, oh no, like, is this you know, but I'm like, all right, you know, and then everybody started doing their own repairs at home and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, this isn't going to be good. But the thing is, when people, and I'm all for people DIY, and I give them information, people call mm-hmm. me, I walk them through stuff, because a lot of times.
University of YouTube.
You know, that can be good, but you still have to know a little bit what yes. you're doing. So, but I like coaching people through mm-hmm. things, because it's like, if I can tell you on the phone or FaceTime, I'm not going to charge you. Mm-hmm. You know, and I said, leave me a review. You know, tell somebody, you know, I helped you out. Like, that's good enough for me. Mm-hmm. Everybody isn't built that way, but me, I'd rather make it easier for people.
Yeah.
But so after that whole peak of everybody doing stuff their own, then it came the time like, yeah, Blair, we did something about a month ago that we probably shouldn't have. Can you come fix it? So then that chain yeah. occurred. So I was like, thank you, God, because yeah. I was nervous because I thought I made a mistake. Yeah. But it was really like that first couple months, people were like kind of tight back, but then it balanced out. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we're here where we are now. And it's crazy that it's 5 years ago this month,
yes.
really, when it started, when it's like 5 years ago, it's half a decade. That's nuts.
It is.
So, and then that just led to where I am now, and been running my business, mm-hmm. BMJ Enterprises. Mm-hmm. Also,
what exactly is your business?
So, my business, I'm a maintenance contractor. Mm-hmm. So, I work in residential and commercial spaces. So, basically,
not building, but maintenance.
Maintenance, yep. So, mm-hmm. maintenance and renovation. So, mm-hmm. we don't do any new construction or add-ons or stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I don't do any roof work. I don't like heights. So unless you dangling off the roof, I'm not getting up there to get you. But basically, you know, like I said, I grew up in the old West End, South mm-hmm. End. So I started a lot of my work in older houses. Mm. So older houses is what trained me. And older houses can kick your butt. Like,
oh, yeah.
I promise you, they're rough. Some
Even
of the stuff
with the restrictions there in the old West End.
Yeah, some of the stuff, like, yeah. you just like, but if you can learn to master these older houses, mm-hmm. but the quality in them, the
yes.
quality, I mean, true 2x4s, mm-hmm. you know, true to size wood, you mm-hmm. know, like you go to the store and get a 2x4, it's not 2x4.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, you can almost sneeze on it sometimes if you get the right piece and break it,
yes.
you know. But some of this old stuff, I remember, I called myself, oh, yeah, I'm going to reuse this. And I tried to cut a piece of the old stuff with a blade that wasn't fresh. It didn't go too far.
Yeah.
So, within my business, I'm a maintenance contractor, basically from as simple as if you get those flat pack kits from IKEA, that's just you get a box and they say, this is a dresser. And you're like, no, that's a box. And you know, and they're like, IKEA's like, no, it's a dresser. You can call me. I can put that together for you.
Oh, okay.
As well as if you want the house ripped down to the studs and you want us to gut it and put it back together. Mm-hmm. Or if you want new lighting or a new door or flooring, I mean, just about anything you can look in your house. I mean, you got a leaky faucet, mm-hmm. anything that needs to be repaired or maintained or, you know, catch it before it breaks.
Wow. So how do you transition from all of that, which I'm getting the picture right now, into advocating for the community and running for actually elective office?
Well, I think the baseline of it is the people. Everything I've been around has been about people and interacting with people. And so no matter what you're doing, when you're dealing with people, you're going to have a conversation about something that's going right or something that's going wrong. Mm-hmm. It's almost inevitable. But, you know, but coming from where I started, like one of my grandfathers was a minister and he was also a maintenance guy. He helped. He talked to anybody. He gave me the mindset that everybody has value no matter where their place in life is right now. You can learn something from everybody. So when I take that perspective, it allows me to understand where people are and also understand, okay, what can I do to help them? You know, that simple mindset. Things like my mother telling me about a story when she was in high school and some people bullied a kid and took his lunch. She bought him lunch. So she always told me, if somebody tells you they're hungry, you feed them.
Yes.
If you know, if you can, you know, or figure it out. You know, don't make, you know, if you can't, you know, but if you can, feed somebody.
Yeah.
It's just those simple things where if people need help, you help them. So that's kind of where.
Don't talk about the problem, be the solution.
Exactly. Yeah. Because, you know, you may not be able to get somebody a steak dinner, but you can get them a $2-3 sandwich. And that still fulfills the issue. So in a nutshell, basically how my family, my parents, my grandparents raised me about helping people, about communicating with people, those relationships, you know, you talk to people, you find out what their issue is, and then you say, okay, how can we fix this?
Yeah.
What can we do? And then over the years, just like how we met, I can't even, we just started talking.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So, and that's how I am with everybody. You know, if somebody gives me, you know, basically like, yeah, I'm open to communicating. I communicate, and 9 times 10, usually we figure something out. And when it comes to the community, I've always been big on building relationships, networking. And then when you meet new friends, you run into somebody else with an issue. Wait, I think I know somebody. And I call them back and say, hey, run into somebody, there's this issue. And then it just goes from there. And then sometimes you need somebody to have a big mouth, which I got one. To speak louder for people, you know, because there's some people who they have a voice, but their voice isn't powerful enough right now. Their voice doesn't have the strength to carry the weight or the impact. And sometimes you need somebody who's not worried about what people are going to think when you say, because, you know, at the end of the day, if it's right.
So you seem like a nice guy. Why in the world would you want to get involved in politics?
You know, I don't know. I really don't know. You know. I know that you can get access to help people, and that's the primary function. Learning about a lot of things that I've learned over the course of probably at least the last 10 years since I kind of been engaging more into the politics, civic, you know, the whole civic portal. I've learned a lot.
How's that experience been? Has it been good, bad, indifferent, in the middle, a little bit of everything?
It's been a potluck. It's been a potluck. So there's been a lot of good people. I'm not going to say there's been bad people. I think there's been people who aren't as focused on the community as they should be, which I don't understand when you go to become an elected official, which you become a public servant. You're supposed to serve the public. You're supposed to work for the people. And I don't think at all times people remember why they're here. I know there's a lot of people who do it as a way to build their resume. I don't do things to build my resume. I don't really care at this point. You know, I work for myself, so I guess if I'm going to send an updated resume to myself, I guess it'll help. You know, but, you know, I make sure I have a way to take care of the things I need. I'm not looking to impress anybody. I'm looking to help, and I'm looking to make a change.
Or build a political career that send you to the governor's office someday or something like that.
I cut my hair low, but it grows back right now. So I don't want to have I'm not looking for a way to make my hair stop growing. So, you know, my focus has primarily and is just on Toledo and in the region surrounding Toledo. Because I know this community needs help. This community has a lot of talent. This community has a lot of great things that need to be highlighted.
What are some of the challenges that you see in Toledo that you maybe advocate for or causes you concern?
So one of the things, we need more small businesses to be able to be established with a good foundation in Toledo. Back in the day, in you know, just the things that, like I said, I was born in 90. I'm only 36, so I only got that span to early 90s. But there was a lot of local mom and pop shops. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of local small businesses, mm-hmm. not a lot of franchises. There's nothing wrong with franchises because we can have people here at Toledo running a franchise. Oh, yeah. So technically, it's a local business.
Yeah, a friend of mine had 9 McDonald's at one time. He sold them since, but...
But they hire local people, yes. and it's a different approach. But we also have a lot of franchises that, guess what, when that money, you know, when people go spend that money in the store, it goes back to anywhere but Toledo, mm-hmm. you know? And so helping those small businesses, you know, we're in a different world, so it's not going to be as many storefronts and, you know, many mm-hmm. permanent locations. You know, we've seen that, like, per se with the food trucks. We got food everywhere now. But that still brings revenue into the city. Mm-hmm. It still brings tax money. It still hires people. It still, you know, local businesses have more flexibility when hiring people. So we have people who may have had a run-in with the law in their teen years, but they're 40, 50 years old.
Yeah.
And they haven't done the same thing for the last 40 years.
Yeah.
Why shouldn't they be able to provide for their family?
You exactly.
know, 9 times out of 10, they did their time. And so I believe in, you know, small businesses because they're like, you know what? You're capable. Mm-hmm. That's all I care about, your skill set, and that you can do the job and you're going to show up.
Like the gentleman that has Joyful Coney Island over off of, I forget where it's at, Bancroft. I think mm-hmm. it's on Bancroft. And he was let out of prison early, mm-hmm. Made a promise to the party that let him out, and he kept it. He has a restaurant employing exactly what you're saying.
And that's a big deal. Yeah. And those
got a pardon. That's what it was.
And those things are what changes our community by giving people opportunity. Mm-hmm. No matter where they're sitting, those opportunities matter. Those are the things that matter to me. Mm-hmm. Figuring out how we can support people. Because at the end of the day, when I look at the people downtown, mm-hmm. their job is to make sure the city is stable, mm-hmm. make sure, you know, our infrastructure is as best as it can be and intact, and we're doing regular maintenance, which we've been working on it lately.
Are we talking about the streets now?
I'm giving them credit.
Okay.
We've been working on it lately. Now, should it have been being worked on my whole life? So yes. At least the last 36 years? Absolutely. Consistently and doing piece by piece, because as I tell my clients, we do this right now, we can do this later, or if we do nothing, mm-hmm. we can have a complete failure and it costs quadruple the cost.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, per se, I could say, you know, just a little, if we do this, it'll cost us $200. Mm-hmm. If we don't do anything, it'll cost us $2,000.
Yeah.
So where would you rather go? Plus a headache, mm-hmm. plus you're probably going to cry, plus whatever damage mm-hmm. reciprocates, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, depending on how bad it is, you might have to call your insurance to yeah. get money for it. And then there's another, because now your insurance is going to go up. So, but it's just like with things in the city, making sure people have basic city services, mm-hmm. you know, like I said, you know, our trash, our police, our fire, mm-hmm. Our emergency response system.
So should we be focusing, and I have another question just mm-hmm. pops in my head, on infrastructure more so before trying to attract more people, or do we do that simultaneously?
I think it needs to be done simultaneously. Like, per se, right in this area, mm-hmm. I live on Woodsdale. We got mm-hmm. the big issue with Arlington. That's not going to be closed till 2028. It's been closed since 2024. Mm-hmm. I haven't been able to drive from Woodsdale to Detroit since sometime in 2024. I can't even remember because it's 2026.
Yeah, it is.
But the thing is, that was a lot of our, you know, lines and stuff under the ground are 80 to 100 years old. Yeah. That's a lifetime. A lifetime on average when it comes to stuff is 70, 75 years mm-hmm. with good maintenance. Mm-hmm. And so when you don't have good maintenance or something you can't fix, it's going to eventually fail.
Yeah.
So they're doing a lot of work because I was frustrated just like everybody else. I'm in a better position where my house sits versus the people, my neighbors on Arlington. Mm-hmm. But the city is working on it. Now, nobody's going to be happy because it's not going to be snap of the finger done tomorrow. Would I like that? Absolutely. Would my neighbors love that? Yes.
But would it be quality?
But would it be quality, and is it possible?
Yeah.
No. Not right now. So, but the thing is, we need to start working on these things mm-hmm. so we don't have complete failures. And also, when the bigger companies, when people looking to move in, these bigger companies looking to relocate, you don't think they send a scout to drive around the whole city? They have a scout that goes around because they're going to look at relocating their people. They're going to look at their trucks coming in. Mm-hmm. They're going to look at all these different things. You know, they're going to look at the roads before they look at the crime. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, people may say other, but they're going to say, can our trucks get through here and be able to get to our facilities? Or are we going to have a potential issue where we might have truck damage and then the truck is down? Then the truck that was trying to, you know, come in to pick up a shipment to go out can't go out. So now we're delayed. So now I can't get to that vendor. So now I lose the contract with this vendor. Mm-hmm. And it's all these things. So I always, my brain always goes to the worst scenario possible.
Yeah.
And if we can work back from there, we can mitigate a lot of issues. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so we need to work on our infrastructure and things like our streets and other things to attract people. We have to, everything has to be look good. Nobody's looking for perfection because perfection is not possible. But we need to be trying. You know, we need to at least be shooting for 60, 70% on a scale of 100, you know, and working to that. Mm-hmm. Now, if we can get to 90%, we cooking. But, you know, 60, 70%, you know, success rate will be good. And I think we've had a good start. We just need to work a little bit harder.
Understood. So how can you do that? And I know we're running up on time. And not be working politically within any particular party. You're not on the red team, you're not on the blue team, so you're not in the fight, a lot of people will say.
So that was one of my big things. So, you know, running as an independent candidate, it was really to signal people like, hey, I want to work with everybody. Because mm-hmm. the thing is, people, you know, don't like that. And I've gotten so much over the last year. And, you know, are you going to join our team? And I'm just like, are you guys trying to draft me? Like, what's
yes,
going on?
Probably.
You know, but the thing is, I'm like, you know, hey, we got a list of problems. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to sit down with you know, we got the Democrats, we got the Republicans, we got the Libertarians, we got the Green guys, we got probably six other groups as mm-hmm. well. But I'm like, we need to be able to come into a room, mm-hmm. common ground, you know, look, we need to focus on the issues.
Yeah.
Piece of notepad right here. I'm going to give you all those guys notepads. Mm-hmm. I need you to write out 20 issues. 20 issues, mm-hmm. straight facts. Write me a sentence or a word and bullet point that. I promise you, at least five of the issues are going to be the same on everybody's papers, mm-hmm. plus or minus.
No matter what their
what their affiliation is.
Yeah.
So when we go to that, and even if I'm shooting a little bit longer, at least two.
Mm-hmm.
But if you come up with two common ideas, and you're in this party, you're affiliated with this, so you don't think we think about some of the same issues?
Work on the common ground.
So that means
out
of those 20 that we wrote down, if we all take two mm-hmm. and they're all the same, we work on these issues, guess what? We can work on them, put common ideas and common interests, common support, all that stuff into that. Guess what? We can mitigate those issues, right?
Mm.
Now what you got left on your list? Oh, man, I didn't even think about that. That's a problem. I think that's a problem, too. So now we can mitigate this stuff. And mm-hmm. so I'm not saying get rid of the parties and all that, but I'm also saying I'm willing to work with everybody. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the city of Toledo, anybody who wants to make Toledo a better place is my ally.
Gotcha.
And I'm theirs.
Awesome.
And I think that's been a problem because a lot of people don't see it that way.
Yeah.
They see that letter before or after your name
going
or wherever
up the gang
sitting.
Signs.
Exactly. And they're like, I'm not going to work with you, even though that's the most powerful ally you can have.
Yes.
And you're not willing to work with them over something like that. So it's a tough thing because I've been getting I got an earful of it since I declared.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, I want to work for Toledo, mm-hmm. the people in Toledo.
Yeah.
So
that sounds like you're going to run again sometime.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Good answer.
There's no question. It's just a matter of when.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you really sharing all that with us because I think it gives people an idea of who you are, where you come from, and what your intentions are, and hopefully, you know, what you're going to be doing in the future, which leads to our final question for the day.
Okay.
What do, out of your 36 years of living, you think your legacy is currently, and what would you like for it to be?
I think currently it's Blair helps people.
Hmm.
In a simple nutshell and very simply. And
that sounds like a good campaign slogan. Blair helps people.
You know, and I'm hoping my legacy will say the same. Mm-hmm. Blair helped people. I remember Blair helped do this. Blair, you know, taught me this. That's what I love doing. I'm not to sound selfish, but it makes me feel good when I help people. It makes me feel good when I've taught somebody something. Like I help a lot of other contractors. I teach them things and show them how to do things. When they say, oh, I just did this, or I get a text saying, look at this, bro. And they're showing me because I taught them that. And that's something that they equated to. Now they're able to make revenue off of it to support their businesses. Mm-hmm. When people, you know, say, hey, you know, you connected me to XYZ, you know, or this person or whatever, and now I'm able to do this, or we've had this relationship. Networking is a big thing for mm-hmm. me. Meeting people, because when you put people in a room, mm-hmm. something is going to happen.
Yeah.
Every single time. And sometimes you just got to put people in a room, and that's it. Because the thing is, the people who needed to show up mm-hmm. are going to show up, whether it's 2 or 200. Mm-hmm. And every single time I've had people develop something, they either pick up a service, or they built a business relationship, or they got advice to take their business to the next level. So my legacy, I will hope, would be Blair helped me. I seen who Blair helped. Mm-hmm. Blair helped Toledo.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Do you have a website for yourself?
On social media, you can find social media in there. Just look up Blair Johnson, Blair Johnson for Toledo. Mm-hmm.
Google, for, yeah.
Yeah, if you it's actually kind of cool now. If you Google Blair Johnson or BMJ419, any of that, all that stuff will pop up.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, we thank you for showing up today and sharing your story with us. And usually I say, well, it sounds like a book, but it seems like you got a few more chapters yet.
I do. I think hopefully a nice chunk of chapters, you know, hopefully at least another 70.
Wait, we had a centenarian on here and she was amazing.
I would love it. I think that would be so cool.
Thank you so much for coming, Brother Blair. And thank you so much for listening to the Voices of Legacy, where you're writing your legacy every day that you live. Remember to be kind to someone. Thank you for listening to the Voices of Legacy. This is your friend, Pastor Carl Mitchell III, your host of this program. We want you to go to wgte.org/legacy to like, share, subscribe, and hear all of our past podcasts and our future podcasts. Be a friend and join with us in the Voices of Legacy, where you're writing your own legacy every day that you live. Have a blessed day.
WGTE. Voices around us.